Welcome to Intuitive Art Sales. This is the show where I, Jessica Craddock, am going to teach you how to source your art marketing from within. You're going to practice claiming that authentic art business that you want and leading it to the most natural way for you to get there. You're going to learn to get connected to your intuition, your confidence, and your community so that you can sell your art consistently while holding strong boundaries on your work-life balance. Welcome back to Intuitive Art Sales. Today I'm here with Christine Hurd, who does mixed media with alcohol ink and acrylics and watercolors. And she's pretty prolific with it. But at the same time, she works full-time outside of the home. So her goal in selling art is just to get it out of the house so that she can make more. Selling art for her is about continuing to be able to do the thing that she loves without running out of room or supplies, and she feels like it's something that she can't keep doing unless she sells it. Something unique about Christine is that she actually has a marketing degree, but still feels that social media can be really all-consuming because she's still not sure who her target audience is or what the story behind her art is. So we're going to dig into all of that. Let's go.
Hello, Christine. It's lovely to have you today. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, so we are talking today a little bit about how, even though selling art is not the thing that you are looking to make a full-time income, you still want to sell it because it allows you to make more art, which is a really great reason to sell art in the first place, right? And I think a lot of people relate to that. Yeah, you want to tell me a little bit more about kind of what's happening there?
I've been doing art as a hobby. It's kind of like a good stress reliever, anxiety reliever for me for a couple of years. And once I started getting into alcohol inks, actually, my husband built me this studio so that I had like a ventilated place to work. So then I really started, you know, doing a lot more of it. I just find that the more art I do, the more space I need. And I run out of space because I started working on canvases, and of course they take up more space and they cost more. So it's like, I don't have an infinite budget for buying and replacing art supplies. I look around and think, okay, so now what do I do with all these paintings? Like, I have a ton of paintings, but I can't just leave them sitting around. It seems kind of wasteful.
Why did you start working on canvas is the first thing I want to ask.
It was actually because I started taking a class last year and we did some paintings on paper. And then we moved to canvas. And also it was because we started using acrylics and acrylic ink, whereas previously I didn't really like using alcohol ink on canvas. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I guess it's a little easier to store alcohol ink papers, but I'm finding that I just like doing a lot of different things. I do really like using the canvases now, unfortunately. They take up way more space.
Okay. So we're not going to go too deep down this rabbit hole, but because creating a super high income is not like your top priority thing. Your top priority thing is I want to make art and I want to have that freedom to do it as much as I want to do it.
Right.
What if it turned into something like I'm going to do one really amazing canvas a month and I can keep painting over it until I really love it. And up until that point, I'm going to do this stack of papers that will help me inform how I want to do this really grand piece, something along those lines. Just so, one, we're still doing what we want to do, but creating a little bit less tension around it.
Right.
And let's be honest, the art on paper is going to be a lower price point. It's going to be easier to ship. It's going to be easier to sell for those reasons.
Yeah, no. That definitely makes sense.
But I don't want to say don't create on canvas because you like it.
And I totally get that. And I have thought of that, which is why I started buying more art journals to work in, just because, you know, that's just for me. I think the thing with the canvas is because they're bigger, you have freedom to do different things with them that you can't do on the paper because you're used to using more paint. And then you get on a little piece of paper and it's kind of like you're just you know, trying to paint in a tiny space and it doesn't quite come out the same. So it's almost like you have to do a different style completely to do the paper versus the canvas. And I think that's what I was, you know, one of the things I'm struggling with is just, I was scared to paint on big canvases before, but now I like it because there's so much more room to work with.
Okay, one more idea and then we're going to move on to something else.
Okay.
I have or have had these big 18 by 24 tearaway papers in the past.
Right.
You can get them to where they're really high quality and they're nearly as expensive as canvas, as a cheap canvas. Right. Or you can get, you know, kind of crap quality. Even something like, what is this one that I have? Ooh. It's like a Post-it brand or something. There's no grit to it. Okay. But if the point is, these don't necessarily need to be saved for all time. I just want to be able to work big and practice working big and get into that space. That could be an alternative to having 20 canvases a month piling up in your workspace.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on from that, you said social media can become all consuming, even though you got a marketing degree in 2000.
Right. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the marketing side of things.
Well, I think for me, and I assume this is what it's like for a lot of artists, especially when I'm not doing it as a primary income, I can't really spend a lot of money on marketing. So I'm trying to do it all free, which is why you choose social media. But then you have to, you know, the algorithms are always changing and it's like you have to post this many of this a day and this many of this a day. And it just gets really time consuming, especially when you're not dedicating all of your time to trying to promote stuff. And so it's like you don't get as much exposure as you would if you were doing it full time. So it feels kind of frustrating because it's like, well, okay, what's the better way to do this if I'm not using social media? Because I don't want to be making reels every single day. It's not something that I excel at. I don't have a staff that could do it for me, and I don't have the money to outsource it to someone else because really I'm just painting for fun kind of thing, you know, like we talked about. So I don't have a budget per se to do things like that.
So I think, again, there's different ways we could go here. One way is coming up with almost a formula of what does my post look like every single day. Right. In a way that people are still interested in engaging with it, but I'm not reinventing the wheel every time.
Right.
Even in the form of a reel, it could be first I do X, then I do Y, then I do Z, and then I say it's this much, and here's how you buy it and post it.
Right.
That's not something that I would necessarily recommend for anyone, but in this case, that could be enough.
Right.
But the other way I want to look at this is, you said it's not something I excel at. What do you excel at?
Good question. I'm very good at a lot of things, but I wouldn't say excel at any of them.
Okay. What are you really good at then?
I'm usually good at problem solving, but here I am. And like researching and getting information and coming up with solutions for things. But yeah, I don't know. This is just eluding me for some reason.
You know,
like I'm good at coming up with ideas, but the follow through maybe is where I'm faltering because I either don't have the time or the money, or, you know, like I'll forget to take a video of something and I'll be like, I'll paint and think, oh shoot, I completely forgot to take a video of that. So I don't have something to do with it.
So it sounds like this is probably getting a little bit ahead, but as you figure out things that do work for you, you know what a standard operating procedure is?
Yeah.
Probably need to have one of those in place where it's like Fridays. It's not a good example of a standard operating procedure, but it's for artists, whatever.
Right.
Fridays, I paint. While I paint on Fridays, I have my video on. I move the camera around 4 times. I store that in my B-roll folder on my phone. Something along those lines.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. But again, I asked, what are you good at? You said, I'm good at research. I'm good at processes. I'm good at figuring things out. My guess is also thinking outside the box a little bit when it's not your own thing.
Right. Like I'm good at coming up with ideas, but I've always struggled with the follow through. And I don't know if that's partly because I have ADHD and I always want to do so many things. It's almost like I can't pick what to do first and then I end up doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that when I've come up with processes, it's like they work for a little while and then I'm like, ooh, I feel too stifled. Like I can't just do this on Friday. Like I want to go paint on a Monday and do this instead. And so I think part of that is hampering me, maybe.
Yeah. I have an idea. I might just give it to you, but first I want to try something else.
Okay.
We're going to switch roles.
Okay.
You are the coach. I am the artist.
Okay.
And I'm going to make up a scenario and you're going to coach me through it. Okay. So I have been painting with my one-year-old daughter a lot recently on watercolor paper. We've just been using watercolor and kind of like throwing the colors around. And it's stacking up like a little bit crazy. And I don't know what to do with it. I had this idea that it would be really cool if, you know, we could sell them for $20 and they could all start funding her college fund or something like that. I think,
right,
you know, starting now with something like that would be great, but I don't know what to do with it. Do you have any ideas?
Like in the meantime or?
No, like I have this stack of artwork and I want to start selling it to whoever. Right. I don't care who buys it, but I want, right, to start a college fund. And I think that would be a good way to do it.
Okay. Well, if it were me, first, I would find a place to store it in the meantime so it wasn't driving me crazy. What I've done with stuff like that is get little portfolios, you know, that you can buy for art, uh-huh, especially for the paper ones. Like, I just store everything in there. Like, I have a ton of stuff that's you can't see. But another thing would be just kind of looking at, okay, where do I want to sell it? Because there's so many options out there.
Right.
I know, like, lots of people use Etsy, but then they have their different, like, they have their different, what's the word I'm looking for? Fees. So I think, like, for a lot of people especially, it helps to look into different places where you can post online. I think it depends too how much time you have to commit to it as well.
I like, probably have like, I don't know, 5 hours a week max. I've got a 1-year-old. She's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think I would focus on just one painting at a time rather than, I know like in social media, people are like, this is my newest work. This is my work in progress, blah, blah, blah. I think if you can take it and focus on one piece at a time, and then if you are not wanting to pay for, say, a website, maybe start with social media, but just focus all of the pieces of it on the one piece.
Well, I haven't started a social media account yet, so okay. I don't really have anybody on there. Is that still the best thing to do?
I don't know if I would say it's the best thing to do. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I have followers, but I don't find it's my followers on social media that are buying my art. So I'm kind of switching here back into the other role. I think that's why I'm kind of questioning whether it's the best place to be for me or not, because it's great to have people interact and like your stuff, but that's not what's going to get me the sales, I think.
Yeah.
Because those people aren't like, ooh, I have to buy this right now. They're just like, oh, that's really nice. I like the colors you used. And I also find that on social media, it's a lot of artists following other artists and sometimes they buy your work, but not necessarily. So it's more of a like, where are the collectors? How do you find the people that want to collect your work and not just say, oh, that's very pretty, without having to post on social media constantly to keep like, you know, to maybe randomly one day come across one person who might want to buy something. Everybody says you have to be on it, but it's not very efficient at all.
Like, it's not very efficient.
No.
I'm not saying it's not a good thing to do. There are definite advantages to being on there. It's not always the answer, though.
Right.
So then you went into, okay, so if these, and I'm not going to argue with you here because I've argued with other people in other episodes about that. If your buyers aren't following you on Instagram, where are they? You said earlier, before we recorded, I think, I'm not really sure who my target audience, my consumer is.
Right. Which is, I think, why I'm struggling, because I know where they aren't. They're not on Instagram and Facebook, because if they were, I mean, maybe I'd be selling more. But
is that necessarily like, true? See, I can't help myself.
No, not necessarily. I mean, I have gotten a few sales through that. But okay. Most of my sales up to now have been friends and family, and they know about it because they do know about it through social media, but I don't think that's necessarily why they buy it. They buy it because they know me.
Do you think they would have bought it if they hadn't seen it on social media? If you hadn't sent a post that said this is for sale?
No, they wouldn't, because they wouldn't have known I had it, because I don't have them anywhere else.
See, I'm wavering in and out here.
Okay. I know.
Okay, the first thing I want you to hear, okay. I want everyone to hear. Friends and family are ideal art buyers.
Right.
Almost always, 98% of the time, I've not found many exceptions to that rule. And there's nothing wrong with that.
My mom is my biggest collector.
Yeah. My mom is my biggest collector. Yeah. His mom is his. It's accurate,
right,
pretty much across the board, right?
Yes.
Then artists go, well, it's not really valid, or it doesn't really mean anything, or it doesn't count, or whatever, if they're buying, so I want to expand, or eventually they're going to want to stop buying my stuff, so I need to expand. Either way, they're not wrong. But that doesn't mean that these people are no longer valid ideal art buyers.
Right.
Just my two cents. The way that I've been teaching ideal art buyers, I still stand behind, but I don't want to get too deep into it. So we've done a lot of episodes on that. One thing that I've been thinking about the most recently is, who is my ideal art buyer based on my core message, values, etc., which sounds a little overwhelming. And you already told me, maybe I'm bad at introspection, or maybe I just don't want to dig deep. But what's happening is, I just want to paint. And so I sit down and I get some colors out and I paint it, and it felt good.
Yeah.
So then you're like, well, I don't have anything deeper, et cetera. Can we do my little exercise? I made a YouTube video about this recently, so it's really like hammered into my brain.
Okay.
Why do you paint?
Because it makes me feel good.
Makes you feel good. Why do you want to feel good?
Because it's better than feeling bad.
Okay, but why does that, let me ask it a different way. Why does feeling good matter to you?
Because it's just more pleasant. It's better for your health as well. So I guess in a way, it's kind of like meditation for me. I can't meditate because I get distracted too easily. But when I'm painting, it helps me to get rid of the stress and anxiety about things I'm feeling. But I guess that in turn makes me happy, because I come from a place of stress and then I'm more relaxed when I'm done.
Why are you coming from a place of stress and anxiety?
Well, part of it's probably just my brain chemistry, and part of it's that I have two teenagers and a husband that farms and a full-time job and a house to take care of. And a lot of times it just starts piling up on me. So I just need that kind of break away from everything. And I think, too, in our house, there's a lot of stuff I can't control. Like, I can't control my kids not putting their stuff away. But in my art studio, it's like, okay, it's a mess, but this is my mess, and I can control it, and I can clean it up if I want. So I find that it's more relaxing here than, you know, when I'm stressed out in the house kind of thing. It's a different feeling, I guess.
Why does it matter to you to have a place where you can feel like you're in control?
Because feeling like I'm out of control makes me feel anxious. I think
we're doing circular logic.
Yeah, we are. But that's a big part of it, I think. It's like when I'm in the house, I can sit down and I can try to relax. But it's like I see, oh, that laundry needs to be put away. And oh, I need to tell my daughter to go hang up her coat. And somebody needs to take out the garbage. And it's like things are always in my head. And I'm either on people's cases all the time, or I'm doing everything myself, or I come to my art studio and it's like I can just kind of let that go for a while.
Hey there, lovely listeners of Intuitive Art Sales. It's Jessica Craddock, your guide to navigating the exciting world of marketing from an authentic place. I have a special request for you. I have shared tips and insights and stories on how to connect with your intuition, boost your confidence, nurture your community, and maintain those all-important boundaries to create a fulfilling work-life balance. And the amount of support you have shown me is incredible, and your feedback is invaluable. So here's the ask. Would you please take just a few moments to leave a rating and a review for Intuitive Art Sales? You can share your thoughts, your breakthroughs, or simply why you love tuning in. It is this little small action that can have a big impact on artists worldwide, just like you. And I also want to say thank you for being a part of this family and for helping me find others who need help on their creative path. Your unique voice matters, and together we're making the world a more inspired and vibrant place. So with so much gratitude, thank you for rating and reviewing us on your favorite podcast platform. It means the world to me. So back to all the things you just said. You said several times, stress and anxiety, relaxation. There's too much happening
whether it's outside or in my head.
Right.
So the ultimate goal there is what?
To improve my mental health.
Okay.
I would guess.
That wasn't what I thought you were going to say, but that's I agree with that. That's accurate. To improve my mental health. So things are always in your head, stressed, out of control, and you want to improve that mental state.
Right. Even if it's only temporarily.
How would you describe, you said relax, but I'm trying to dig a little bit past relax. What happens when you are relaxed? Let's go there.
My thoughts slow down a lot more. I'm not constantly thinking about all the things I have to do. I just kind of get in the zone. Like I said, it's more like meditating for me, where I think about things a lot less and it's just kind of going with the flow of the paint. And one of the reasons why I do abstract rather than, you know, try to paint realistically, because I can just kind of do what I feel like doing in the moment. It lets you be free, I guess.
So the cliche phrase that I just wrote down is free is my mind. I try to write this phrase in a way that you have used those words, because then it feels more true and not that cliche.
Right.
Slows down my thoughts. Things are always in my head. Those were the two that stood out to me.
Yeah, I'm constantly thinking. Like, my brain is kind of like, I've always compared it to like a hamster in one of those rolling balls that you put on the floor and it rolls and it bumps around into things and changes direction all the time. And I feel like that's my brain sometimes. And it's just, it gets exhausting after a while. For some reason, there's two things I can do that I can focus on. I can read and I can paint. Mm-hmm. And when I paint, there's something at the end of it. It's nice to be able to create something from that.
I'm trying to, in a way, detach it from the creation.
Right.
And attach it to who I am as a person and what I really care the most about. Could you say, like, at your core that my brain is a hamster and I'm always just trying to slow down my thoughts? Does that feel accurate, or is there...
That feels pretty accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it will evolve over time, but we can leave it there for now. Okay. Where it's not just saying, this painting is relaxing, you should relax with it. It's, I am a person whose brain operates like a hamster and I'm always trying to slow down my thoughts. Mm-hmm. Then we can talk about, and I'm going to make this up now, patience. We can talk about ADHD. We can talk about being overwhelmed. All those things relate back to my brain is answering and I'm trying to slow down my thoughts. And then it's more about you.
Right.
And the art is a product of that thing that you want. And it's not about them. We're not saying, now if you buy this painting, you'll relax.
Right.
Maybe they will, but we're saying patience is something that I'm working on. It's really hard for me. There's this and this and this. And sometimes I just want to throw something across the room, but instead I painted today. And here's what I made. Then that painting all of a sudden becomes about being patient and remembering not to throw things across the room.
I wish I could paint at work more often then, or more often, sometimes.
So back to the original question, which was, who is my target audience? It's all those people who want those things.
Right.
And maybe one of my other circles is, it's people who like alcohol ink. Mm-hmm. But how do you know who likes alcohol ink and who doesn't? That's pretty hard to define.
Right.
Unless we're doing SEO and keywords and search terms and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's one way to use that bubble. And then the other bubble is people we know, aka we're going to throw friends and family in that bubble. And if they have more than one of those bubbles in common, then you're really hitting the nail on the head, but you don't need all three.
Okay.
So when you're thinking about someone else whose brain is like a hamster and they just want to slow down their thoughts and... Again, I made up those other examples, but wants to have more patience and not throw things across the room and all blah, 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 blah. Can you think of people like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So then when you're talking about your art like that on your social media, and you're somehow getting them onto your social media, which we're not getting to yet.
Right.
But then they're like, oh, I connect with this person, especially if they already know you. That helps.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Okay. So I'm going to give you three baby steps. Baby step number one, we'll make you a list of anyone that you can think of that has anything to do with what we just wrote down. Look in past schools, past classes, past groups, past whatever, current friends and family, people you know, make a list.
Okay.
It may even be like a store or a market or something like that. Step two, so we're going to go find those people on social media and we're going to follow them and we're going to send them a DM that says something like, hey, I found you. Nice to connect. It's been a while. We should catch up. Something along those lines. Okay. And then like something of theirs, whatever.
Okay.
This is not an exact formula. You're just trying to grab their attention that you are on Instagram and you have an account. And the goal is hopefully they're going to follow us back if they have any interest. Third step is you're going to go after, you know, you've hung out for a minute with them. We're going to say, hey, I have a favor to ask. I'm trying to grow my art business more organically because I work full time and I don't have time to or a budget or whatever, however you want to say it, to blah, blah, blah. Do you know anyone who has a brain like a hamster and has trouble slowing down their thoughts? Because that's what my art account is about.
Okay.
Then they're either going to say nothing. They're going to say, yes, that's me. Or they're going to say, yes, I know somebody. And then you're going to either, if it's yes, it's me, like, hey, I have a newsletter where I send out stuff about that. Would you want to be on it? Get them on your newsletter so you don't have to worry about that algorithm. Or if they say, yes, I know somebody, send them something like, would you be willing to share my art account with them? It would mean a lot. So in those three steps, one, we're finding more of our people. We're getting them onto our Instagram account where we can share a thing, easily getting them onto our Instagram account without having to go through that whole thing. And then inviting them or other people that they know to either come follow us or join us in our next thing, which is our newsletter, which more people are going to see. Which step four, I guess, would then be start a regular newsletter where you offer things for sale.
I've done that before, but it's definitely not regular. Something that I've done a little bit of, but not a lot.
We're trying to simplify this as much as possible because you only have, I'm guessing, 5 hours a week. Maybe more.
Are we talking about
also
want
to
painting time? So that would be definitely
marketing time.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 hours would probably be the max.
What is the simplest process we can do? Write all that down on a standard operating procedure.
Make it simple, stupid.
Yes, make it simple, stupid. Yeah. And it will evolve over time. And you're going to be very tempted to start adding a whole bunch of crap to it.
Right.
Pay attention to, I've asked this many people. This many people have joined. This many people have started following me from that because I'm not really doing a whole lot else to get people to follow me. This many people have joined my newsletter. And look at, is the time I'm putting in, is it actually translating into what I think it should be now?
Okay.
Before we start adding a whole bunch of other stuff. Because we don't have time to add a whole bunch of other stuff yet. How often are you going to send a newsletter?
Once
a week.
Once a week. I mean, start
with a lot. That's more than I normally encourage people to start with.
Right.
But because that is our end place. And we're not doing a whole lot else. That's where we're going to be selling.
Okay.
We can take our favorite social media post, plug it into that email, put an image in there, and say, here's how you buy it. You respond, it's this much. I'll send you an invoice. I'll ship it out tomorrow.
Okay.
Because if we're not offering things for sale, people aren't buying anything. And it doesn't matter if anyone's on your list or following you or whatever. We have to offer things for sale too. So we're covering all the bases. We're covering visibility. We're organically using relationships to grow. While it feels slow, it's probably faster than whatever is happening now with a lot less time spent. And they're going to be warmer leads.
Right.
We're nurturing by writing things that connect with my brain is a hamster and I'm slowing down my thoughts, and we're allowing them to connect with us through our own stories about that. We're selling by sending the newsletter with the art in it that tells them how to buy. So it's a very simple boom, boom, boom.
Okay.
Okay. Let's wrap up.
I think step two for me is going to actually be the hardest, because there's that whole anxiety and introvert part of me that comes into play when reaching out to people. And it's just like, I don't know.
Step two of, hey, let's connect more often.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Practice on me. Ready, go. Let's pretend we're doing it in person. We bumped into each other at the grocery store.
Hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you in a while.
I'm so good. We should catch up sometime. You know, I've been really busy. I've got this and that. And I'm just buying some hamburgers for dinner.
Oh, good, good. And I just totally blanked out now. I had something in my head. The hamster ball is over and it's like, whoa.
That's why we're role playing.
Yeah, I know. That sounds good. I've been doing a lot of artwork myself and just trying to get some of that. Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
No, that was great. You know, I've actually been painting a lot more. And, you know, I started an Instagram account. Are you on Instagram? I'd love to follow you so I could see you more often on there.
Right.
Something like that. I didn't say that perfectly, right, but you got the gist of it.
Okay. Yeah.
Selling is informing, connecting, and helping. Everything you're doing is pretty much selling. You're selling them to come on your Instagram. You're selling them to this. You're selling them to that. But it doesn't have to be like used car salesman selling. It can be,
right,
I really genuinely want to keep up with you and see what you're up to on a regular basis. I'm telling you I have an Instagram account. Do you want to follow me? Can I make it easy for you? Can I just go follow you?
Right. Okay.
Inform, connect, help. If you think about that all the time, you'll know what to do.
Okay.
All right, Christine. Tell all these lovely people who are listening how, practice telling them where to go.
Practice telling them where to go. Are we talking Instagram or just
I don't know. That's up to you. Where do you want them to go?
Well, ideally, I'd like them to go to my website.
Why?
Because that's where they can see all of my art in one place. And if they see anything that resonates with them, they can buy it there as well.
Can I actually interject? Because most people want to send people to their website. And I haven't ever said this. Sure, you can send them to your website, but there's no way for them to connect with you on your website unless they happen to stumble across your newsletter sign up form. And then they decide to do it on an off chance that you'll send something interesting. Another selling concept that I really like to push is easiest yes. What is the easiest yes? Getting them to your website where they have to then go look at your art and then decide, this is exactly what I've always been looking for, right, and press the buy button all in one go. It's just, there's not a whole lot of easy yeses there. Instagram's the easiest yes. Newsletter would be the next easiest yes, probably.
Right.
Tell them to go to one place and tell them why they want to.
Okay.
Redo.
Although if they're going to do the newsletter, most people have the newsletter signups on their website. So
that is true. But then you're still having to tell them all steps.
Well, unless you have a landing page.
Another way you could do it would be, direct message me your email address and I will get you added.
Right. Okay.
We're thinking, how can I help them? How can I make it as easy as possible for them to get into my orbit where then I can see them and then invite them to my newsletter and make it easy in right. the process. So yeah, you can start with go to my landing page, go to my website, go to my blah, 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 blah. But is that the easiest next thing? Maybe right. it is, maybe it isn't.
So actually, while you were saying those things, my brain was spinning and I had a thought because you were talking about Instagram and, you know, comment below or whatever. Like if somebody is interacting with a post and they say they like something, is it weird or is it okay to, because I know sometimes people say you got to ask permission for, I don't know, all kinds of things, to reach out to somebody and DM them and maybe not talk in there and say, hey, like, I saw you like this thing. And, you know, I have this newsletter that I thought you might be interested in that has blah, blah, blah. And then ask them in a DM if they've interacted with you.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, would you like to buy it? And I was going to go, no. That's a couple too many steps in one. That is okay and good. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can do that.
If they're taking the time to comment on something you're doing, they're probably going to go, sure, send it to me.
Okay.
Okay. So we circled again. I gave you things to think about and I'm putting you on the spot. Where do you want people to go?
I would like people to visit my Instagram profile.
Okay. And let's add one. Message me that you listen to my podcast.
In Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because if people are interested in what you're saying, you're giving them an open invitation to message you. It just makes that connection aspect way easier.
Okay.
Okay. That's not always the answer. That's just the answer we came up with today.
Right.
No. And you can steal it if you want.
Sounds good.
Right. All right. So you're going to Christine's Instagram. You're going to message her that you listen to her podcast. And if you want to tell her what you thought about it, do it.
All right.
Well, Christine, it was lovely. I will let you get back since you are at work on your lunch break. But thanks for chatting with me.
Yes. And thank you for your advice. That was really helpful, actually.
You're welcome. Good.
Got a lot to think about.
I think there's this whole other realm of people who, you know, want to sell art but aren't looking to build a business and grow. And I think this right. would be really helpful for them. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye, right. Christine.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't yet, be sure to hit subscribe so that you can get new episodes loaded straight onto your phone as soon as they're ready. And as an added bonus, when you subscribe, it helps other artists find this advice so we can learn how to make our art more valuable as a community. What could be better than that? And be sure to say hello and let me know you've been listening over on Instagram. My handle is @artistmarketcup. I would love to hear from you.